Welcome to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace through practical application. Here is your host, Reverend Jennifer Hadley.
Bonjour. Bonjour. Yes. Bonjour. So grateful to share with you, to join with you, and to open our hearts and minds to the very highest and best expressions of love. That's what we're choosing today and every day. Today I choose love. Today I choose joy. And our topic this week is perception and our reality. I opened my Course in Miracles textbook to chapter 21, section 5, The Function of Reason. And so that's what jumped out at me, that we're going to look at perception and our reality. So let's begin with a blessing and a prayer. Place our hand on our heart. And we are so very grateful, so very thankful to open ourselves to the infinite intelligence, to pure light and love that we already are, the wisdom, the clarity, and the creativity, the all good of God shining in our heart, shining in our mind, awake and alive in our awareness. We are grateful. So grateful to allow ourselves to fully be present with the presence. We welcome clear insight, intuition, inspiration, divine downloads, and direction. We're saying yes, a hearty yes to our wholeness, to the beauty, to the freedom. All of it already been given to us. We're accepting it, we're allowing it, we're sharing it, and we are grateful, grateful, grateful to let it be. And so it is. Amen. 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 Oh, yes. Here we go again. Thank you for joining with me. I really do appreciate it. And I'd also like to say at the top here, to those of you who give a donation to the Power of Love Ministry and who donate to me personally to support this podcast, to support the daily prayers, the daily inspiration, the Sundays with Spirit, the free classes that we frequently offer, and all the things that we share at the Power of Love Ministry, those of you who support it and keep it going with your donations, I thank you. I thank you so, so much. Together, we are bringing forth truly helpful tools that people use to liberate. I really appreciate it. And if money is tight, but you'd like to support in other ways besides finances or in addition to donations, one thing that really helps is when you write a review. Writing a review from wherever you get your podcast, that's really super helpful. It just means that the podcast platforms will see that it's valued. So thank you. They've got their algorithms, you know. So let's talk about perception and our reality. So again, we're in chapter 21, which is called Reason and Perception. And we're in section 5, which is entitled The Function of Reason. So it begins with perception selects and makes the world you see. It literally picks it out as the mind directs. So what does that mean? It means we're going to see things that match with our belief system, and we won't see things that don't match our belief system. So what I immediately think of is many years ago, a friend of mine was, we were at a big event where it was like a big, what do you call those? Like a dinner, a big dinner in a ballroom at a hotel. And I had brought two friends with me, a couple, and they were late opening the doors. So by the time they opened the doors for people to run in and grab tables and seats, because they weren't pre-assigned, it was a madhouse. And people were trying to find groups of seats so they could sit together with their friends. I just wanted to sit with this couple I brought because they didn't know anyone else there. So I couldn't find three seats at a table, even though we all went in at the very same time. People were very good at, I don't know, getting whole tables, and I wasn't going to fight anybody for seats. So I went up to a table where I knew someone there, and I saw two seats. And I said, look, I know it's a lot to ask, but I've got these friends who've never, don't know anyone else here, just me. Would you mind if I added an extra chair to this table? Everybody scoots over and we add in an extra place setting. Everybody said, fine, no problem. Happy to do it for you, Jen. So we did that. And then as we're beginning to just enjoy the conversation, all get connected at the table, a friend of mine came over and said, I can't find a seat with anybody that I know. Can I sit with you, Jennifer? And I said, oh, honey, I had to add in an extra chair here to get a seat for my friend. So we've already added in an extra seat. I don't know how we can add in one more seat here at this table. So she went on her way. And then later, after the perhaps the salad course, I went to the restroom, the ladies' room, and she was in there, my friend, and she was crying. And I said, honey, what's going on? And she said, I can't find a place to sit. I can't find a table where there's anybody I know that has an extra seat. And I took her by the hand. I said, you come with me. I'm going to find you a seat. So I did. And we went around in the ballroom till we found somebody she knew that had an extra seat. I can't remember. Did we shove in an extra chair? I don't remember now. But we got that sorted. And then a couple of weeks later, I saw this same friend. And I had seen her at different things in the meantime. But a couple of weeks later, we were at something together. And she came over to me and she said, Jennifer, there's something I have to talk to you about. Do you have a minute? And I said, sure, of course I do. And she said, I'm so bothered. I'm really upset. I feel so hurt that you didn't want me at your table that night at the big dinner. And I thought, what? I said, of course I wanted you at my table, but there was no room. You see, we had already added in an extra chair, and I didn't feel I could impose upon the rest of the people again and ask them to add another chair and squeeze in even more. And I said, but of course I wanted you at my table. I said, didn't I walk you all around the ballroom until you found someone you knew? I said, why would you think I didn't want you at my table? She said, well, you could have tried to fit me in. I said, but I explained to you then that we had already shoved in another chair. It was too tight a space to try to shove in another chair. So my point is here, perception selects and makes the world you see. It literally picks it out as the mind directs. So her mind at that minute in time was thinking nobody wanted to sit with her. So that was her view. It didn't have anything to do with how I felt or what I thought. She imposed that on me. And she carried it around for weeks, feeling hurt and upset. So everything that had come before, every dinner that we'd had together, just the two of us, the times when I'd invited her to my house, multiple times for multiple things, all of that had no value. It was gone because her perception of herself and her lovability was projected onto me and what I thought, what I believed, what I felt. It didn't matter what was true about what I thought and believed and felt because her perception ruled the day. And it deeply, deeply upset her. And thank God she talked to me about it. Even when I went into her, I went with her all around the ballroom, none of that mattered. Not one bit of that mattered. All that mattered was she had this belief about herself. So it says here, the laws of size and shape and brightness would hold, perhaps, if other things were equal. They are not equal. For what you look for, you are far more likely to discover than what you would prefer to overlook. So rather than overlooking what she could say was my rejection of her. And I could certainly see, I was not willing to add in another chair to the table. So in a sense, you could easily say I was rejecting her. Though in my heart, I sure didn't wish to send her away. I just thought it's not my place to try and impose upon these people anymore, especially when there were lots of other seats in the ballroom. So they just were single seats, not near to someone that she knew. But ultimately, we did find someone she knew well, is what I recall. So the laws of shape and size and brightness would hold, perhaps, if other things were equal. They are not equal. For what you look for, you are far more likely to discover than what you would prefer to overlook. I've had it happen a few times in my life that people thought I didn't like them when I did. I've had it be that people thought I was mad at them when I was not mad at them. I've had it be that people have thought I was in love with them when I was not in love with them. Not romantically, anyway. I've had people think all kinds of things, as we all have, because what they look for, they are far more likely to discover than what they would prefer to overlook. So what would they prefer to overlook? You know, many people would prefer to overlook that you love them, that you think they're wonderful, because their belief about themselves, their thought about themselves is they are unworthy of love. They are not good enough. Something's wrong with them. And so that's what they're looking for, is they're looking for proof of that. So this is why I say that many times people will look at the world and they will say, oh, you see that person not talking with me, not returning my call, not responding to my texts, not answering my emails. all of that. That there's the proof that I'm not good enough for them. They don't really love me. They don't really care about me. But it's not true. It's not true at all. I mean, it might be, but I have found that many times it's something else entirely. It's something like the person is not responding because they don't feel good enough. The person is not responding because they do not feel worthy of the attention, of the relationship, of the friendship, of the caring. They don't feel worthy. So they overlook it. He goes on, the still small voice for God is not drowned out by all the ego's raucous screams and senseless ravings to those who want to hear it. And that to me is one of the most critical things for us to understand. That if we'd like to hear that still small voice, even though it is so still and so small compared to the rantings of the ego, it is of such a high and strong vibration that even if it's very, very quiet, we will hear it distinctly. We will not mistake it. We will recognize it. But our willingness is required. Those who want to hear it will hear it. Those who have eyes to see will see. Those who have ears to hear will hear. So my friend in that moment did not have the eyes to see in my face that I loved her and that I would like to have her at my table. She did not have the ears to hear in that moment that I loved her and wanted the best for her. And to me, that would include having her at my table. She didn't have the eyes to see and the ears to hear in that moment. And we've all got that going on sometimes. I've learned that whenever I feel hurt and upset, I need to check myself. Am I hearing correctly? I can't be if I'm upset. Am I seeing correctly? I cannot be if I'm upset. Remember the section, this need not be. This need not be. It's something we choose. It's perception that we're projecting onto the world. We don't see what's really there. We see what is familiar, what complements our beliefs, what agrees with our beliefs. That's what we see. We do not see what is actually there. We see only our perceptions and projections. And this is why it's so vital for us to remember to laugh. So, the still small voice for God is not drowned out by all the ego's raucous screams and senseless ravings to those who want to hear it. Perception is a choice, not a fact, but on this choice depends far more than you may realize as yet. For on the voice you choose to hear and on the sights you choose to see depends entirely your whole belief in what you are. Perception is a witness but to this and never to reality. So our reality is we are the Christ. We are part of God, inseparable. However, if we don't believe the truth about who we are, what we are, whose we are, then we're going to project that onto the world, and that's what we will perceive. Yes. On the voice you choose to hear and on the sights you choose to see depends entirely your whole belief in what you are. So this is why my constant prayer is to see the truth, to know the truth, to feel the truth, to realize the truth, to recognize the truth, and to surrender any attachments I have to that which is false. He says, perception is a witness but to this, and never to reality. Yet it can show you the conditions in which awareness of reality is possible, or those where it could never be possible. So perception can show us the conditions in which awareness of reality is possible, or those where it could never be. So perception can help us with our relationship with reality. Now he says, reality needs no cooperation from you to be itself, but your awareness of it needs your help, because it is your choice. Listen to what the ego says and see what it directs you see. And it is as sure that you will see yourself as a tiny, vulnerable, and afraid. Excuse me. Listen to what the ego says and see what it directs you see. And it is sure that you will see yourself as tiny, vulnerable, and afraid. You will experience depression, a sense of worthlessness, and feelings of impermanence and unreality. You will believe that you are helpless prey to forces far beyond your own control and far more powerful than you. And you will think the world you made directs your destiny, for this will be your faith. But never believe, because it is your faith it makes reality. Wow. Truth bombs. So let's look at this. Reality needs no cooperation from you to be itself. So reality is something I think we barely see, because our lenses of perception and projection are so strong. And as I said, for me, one of the things I energize every day, let me see what's real. Let me see what's true. I surrender all attachment to the false identity, false perceptions, beliefs, projections. I'm only interested in the truth. And for me, when I know I'm aligned with the truth, I'm peaceful. I'm harmonious. Of course I am. Why wouldn't I be? Because my peace of mind, my harmoniousness, my joy, my freedom, all of that is not conditional, because these are the spiritual qualities that are our true identity, and they are not conditional. That's the nature of spirit. It's not conditional. Love is not conditional. Harmony, peace, joy, freedom, they are not conditional. They are omnipresent, omniactive spiritual qualities that are the very nature and essence of our being. That's our reality. Reality needs no cooperation from you to be itself. But your awareness of it needs your help, because it is your choice. So we can choose to align with reality and see what's true, or we can keep energizing our upsets about our projections. We get to decide what we'll choose. Very important for us to know and to recognize. Yes, yes, yes. What I love is that we can fully surrender that which we've been using to hurt ourselves. Indeed, so good. Oh my goodness, yes. Hey, I'd like to do a little promo for our Sundays with Spirit. Power of Love Ministry has the Sundays with Spirit every Sunday. It's a Sunday celebration on Zoom. It's totally free. Anyone can join us from anywhere in the world on Zoom. We do about 90 minutes of prayer and music, and we have a wonderful speaker. We have a meditation, and it is a great opportunity to join with like-minded souls to celebrate the truth and to align ourselves. And sometimes by Sunday afternoon, we could use a shift. Maybe we've been, needing a little redirection, a little anchoring into spirit before we go back to work on Monday, or we spent too much time with our family on the weekend and we're looking for a little regroup. We've got it for you. I'm Jennifer Hadley. You're listening to A Course in Miracles, and I will be right back.
Thank you for tuning in for A Course in Miracles, living the love, walking the talk.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming back. And one of the things I would like to tell you about before we pick up where we were about perception in our reality, so juicy, is the program we have coming up here in the middle of August. My best friend for decades, Karen Russo, and I are doing a class called How to Create and Lead Workshops That Make a Difference. And we will be focused on doing online workshops on Zoom. However, what we're going to teach you, a lot of it, that it can be applied to in-person workshops. Both Karen and I have done God knows how many workshops and classes and programs in person. Between us, we have about 60 years of experience teaching classes and workshops and making presentations and facilitating things. So we've been doing this a very long time. I'm excited that we're going to join together. She was visiting me here in Vermont earlier this summer, and I realized, oh my God, you're the perfect person to teach this. And she's taught this kind of thing before. So I asked her if she would come and teach it for the Power of Love Ministry. Come and join us if you feel called. It, to me, it's so important that the light workers of the world who have something they'd love to share, whether it's about how to go through a divorce easily, or how to have a graceful closing on your house, or it's about acupuncture, or it's about forgiveness. No matter what your topic is, I would like to support the light workers of the world feeling confident and qualified to do what they love to do. And I'm very interested in hosting at the Power of Love Ministry more and more workshops to support the light workers who'd like to offer them, because it's a lot of work to do all of this. I know many of us make it seem pretty effortless to jump on Zoom and teach, but there are so many pieces to doing this work, it can feel daunting. And so a lot of really brilliant people have beautiful things to share. They talk themselves out of it. Why? Because their perception is that they don't have what it takes. Their perception is they can't do it, that they're not good enough, that there's something missing. And it's often not true. It's just a little bit of training, and boom, they're doing something fabulous. They're doing a great job. So that's what I'm interested in. If you're interested too, come and join us. We're going to have a good time. All right, so All the details at jenniferhadley.com. Reality needs no cooperation from you to be itself. We're chapter 21, section 5, The Function of Reason, paragraph 2. But your awareness of it needs your help because it is your choice. Our choice is to see what's really there or to see the projection. Listen to what the ego says and see what it directs you to see. And it is sure that you will see yourself as tiny, vulnerable, and afraid. And that's what I'm talking about with this create and lead workshops that make a difference. Many people see themselves as unqualified, incompetent. And I sent out an email the other day, some inspiration, I think it was. And I told a story about the first workshop I ever taught on the topic of the personal practice of nonviolence. This was back in the 90s. And I don't know, there were maybe 10 people at the workshop, small turnout, small but mighty. And I got such a good learning from one of the participants. Towards the end of the workshop, I had been presenting for a couple of hours and running this workshop. And by the way, nobody ever gave me a training. I was totally winging it. I really had no expertise. I had raw talent and I had a huge passion for the personal practice of nonviolence. I had been learning and studying from the teachings of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi. And I was so inspired by their teachings. And I deeply wished to share how meaningful it was to me. And by the way, it was my study of their teachings and my personal practice of nonviolence, which was a moment-by-moment evaluation of, if I say this, is it loving or does it have an energy of violence? If I eat this, is it loving or will it be a violent energy? So, for instance, it's not the thing that we're doing. Everything is neutral. Eating the Snickers bar could be an act of violence for one person, and for another person, it could be an act of love. Just like for another person, not having the Snickers could be an act of violence, and having the Snickers could be a self-nurturing, self-loving. It's not the Snickers bar. It's not the candy bar. It's how we think about it and what is our motivation behind our choosing to eat it in that moment. So I was working that practice moment by moment, day by day for years before I turned to A Course in Miracles. So when I started doing the lessons in A Course in Miracles, I found truly that I had already been doing them for years through my personal practice of nonviolence. And that was very cool to me. So listen to what the ego says and see what it directs you see. And it is sure that you will see yourself as tiny, vulnerable, and afraid. So here I was leading this workshop on the personal practice of nonviolence. And it was just at the end of it. I said, before I close this out with a prayer, does anybody have anything they'd like to ask or say before we complete? And this woman raised her hand and she asked me a question that I don't remember specifically, but it was generally about practicing nonviolence with your family. And so I answered her question, and at the end of my answer, I said, but what do I know? That's what I have to say, but what do I know? And the woman looked at me and she said, why would you ever say that? Clearly, you know a lot. And it was such a beautiful lesson for me because she was right. I did know a lot. Why would I say, what do I know? Except that, just like it says here, listen to what the ego says and see what it directs you to see, and it is sure that you will see yourself as tiny, vulnerable, and afraid. And in that moment, I thought, I do not feel confident and qualified, no matter how much I know, to lead this workshop, because I don't have experience with it. I don't feel confident. I don't feel qualified. I feel tiny, vulnerable, and afraid. Unworthy of someone really listening to me. But see, I had to get over that in order to share these teachings of love and truth that are so deeply, profoundly life-changing to anyone who will take them into their heart. Anyone, anyone, anyone. So it goes on here to say, you will experience depression, a sense of worthlessness, and feelings of impermanence and unreality. You will believe that you are helpless prey to forces far beyond your own control and far more powerful than you. So again, backing up, listen to what the ego says and see what the ego directs you to see. When you listen to what the ego has to say, when you look at what the ego has you looking at, then you will feel tiny, vulnerable, and afraid. You will experience depression, a sense of worthlessness, and feelings of impermanence and unreality. You will believe that you are helpless prey to forces far beyond your control and far more powerful than you. And you will think the world you made directs your destiny. For this will be your faith. But never believe, because it is your faith, it makes reality. So important. No matter what the history has been, and no matter what, how deeply you are invested with your faith in, I'm not good enough, I'm not confident, I'm not qualified, something's wrong with me, I'm bad, I'm unlovable, I'm not talented, I'm stupid, I'm ugly. No matter how much faith you have in the ego's opinions, never believe, because it is your faith, it makes reality. It's not your reality. It's just your belief. You see, and then we look at the world that seems to be rejecting us, and we say, ah, there's the proof that I'm not good enough. There's the proof I'm not lovable. My spouse left me. My spouse ran off with somebody else. Therefore, it's easy to see I'm just not lovable. I'm just not attractive enough. I'm just not good enough. Pure perception. What if the very best thing that could happen to you is your spouse ran off? So you either decide to chase them, and they're trying to get away from you, trying to chase them, or you're saying, aha, I must be better off without them because they left me. Aha, that's my reality, is I am better off without them. How do I know? Because they are gone. Hello, hello, hello. I must be better off without them because they are gone. Everything works together for my good. Let me make no exceptions. This is why one of my very best friends is less than 25. I don't know what anything is for. My spouse runs off and leaves me for another person. I don't know what anything is for, but you know what? It's got to be for my good. So specifically, I don't understand what it's for, but generally, it's for my good. I'm going to accept that. I'm going to put my faith in that so that my perception lines up with my reality, because my reality is everything is helpful. Everything works together for my good. Let me stay in a place of reality and move out of fantasy, illusion, and delusion where I feel tiny, vulnerable, and afraid. I don't like feeling tiny, vulnerable, and afraid. I'd like to feel confident, qualified, happy, joyful, peaceful, harmonious, centered and focused for God. There is another vision and another voice in which your freedom lies awaiting but your choice. There is another vision and another voice in which your freedom lies awaiting your choice. And if you place your faith in them, the vision and the voice, if you place your faith in them, you will perceive another self in you. This other self sees miracles as natural. They are as simple and as natural to it, the other self, as breathing to the body. They are the obvious response to calls for help, the only one it makes. Miracles seem unnatural to the ego because it does not understand how separate minds can influence each other, nor could they do so. But minds cannot be separate. This other self is perfectly aware of this, and thus it recognizes that miracles do not affect another's mind, only its own. They always change your mind. There is no other. There is no other. So the other self, that higher Holy Spirit self, recognizes there is no other. That the personality, the ego is, think of the personality as being like a computer, and the ego is a software that the personality runs, let's just go with that. You do not realize the whole extent to which the idea of separation has interfered with reason. Reason lies in the other self you have cut off from your awareness. The higher self, the holy self, the I am presence. And nothing you have allowed to stay in your awareness is capable of reason. How can the segment of the mind devoid of reason understand what reason is or grasp the information it would give? All sorts of questions may arise in it, but if the basic question stems from reason, it will not ask it. Like all that stems from reason, the basic question is obvious, simple, and remains unasked. But think not, reason could not answer it. God's plan for your salvation could not have been established without your will and your consent. It must have been accepted by the Son of God, for what God wills for him, he must receive. So what God wills for the Son of God, the Son of God must receive, and that is what we are. Son of God is the Christ. The Son of God is humanity. That is what we are. For God wills not apart from him. So God's will is not apart from our true will, our higher Holy Spirit will. God's will is the only will there is. There's only the illusion of free will. God's will is the only will there is. I just love that. It means so much to me. I remember the first time I read that, I thought, oh, that comforts me. That comforts me. But it makes perfect sense that there could only be God's will if God is all there is. How could there be anything working against God if God is all there is? How could there be anything in opposition to God that could be somehow making something happen that God doesn't will if God's will is the only will there is? And then there are core students that say God doesn't know anything about this world, but this world that we're experiencing, the illusion, is something we, as part of God, have made up. So it's not reality, it's not permanent, it's a dream that we made up. It says here, for God's will is not apart from him, the Son of God, nor does the will of God wait upon time to be accomplished. Therefore, what joined the will of God must be in you now, being eternal. You must have set aside a place in which the Holy Spirit can abide and where the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit must have been there since the need for the Holy Spirit arose and was fulfilled in the same instant. Such would your reason tell you if you listened. Yet such is clearly not the ego's reasoning. Your reason's alien nature to the ego is proof you will not find the answer there. Yet, if it must be so, it must exist. And if it exists for you and has your freedom as the purpose given it, you must be free to find it. So, if we're willing, we can find the truth, find our true reality. This next part is comforting. God's plan, we're in paragraph 6 now, God's plan is simple, never circular, and never self-defeating. God has no thoughts except the self-extending, and in this, your will must be included. There must be a part of you that knows God's will and shares it. It is not meaningful to ask if what must be is so. So it's not meaningful to ask if what must be is so. We don't need to ask if our will is the will of God when it must be so. We don't need to ask if our nature is pure wisdom, if it has to be because we're part of God. So we don't have to ask, are we lovable, when we are already perfect love. So very important to understand that when we're upset by what we think we see, it is our perception that is mistaken. We're not seeing it correctly. Everything works together for our good. Everything in life is helpful. Nothing is against us. Everything is for us. God's plan is simple, never circular, and never self-defeating. It is meaningful to ask why you are unaware of what is so. For this must have an answer if the plan of God for your salvation is complete. And it must be complete because its source knows not of incompletion. So to me, Jesus is always saying, here are the questions to ask. Here are the thoughts to think. Here's what you do. If you'd like to unwind the attachments to the false reality, here's what you say, here's what you think, here's what you ask, here's what you do. He's always giving very clear instructions. It is meaningful to ask why you are unaware of what is truth, what is so, for this must have an answer. So when we're upset, tell me what's true. I do find that realizations of truth feel so profoundly liberating, freeing. They do. They liberate us from fear and worry and doubt. They liberate us from a sense of lack and limitation and trying to figure things out. It's true. So why hesitate? If you're upset, it's a perception. It's not your true reality. We can abandon it. We can abandon the false, let it go. So very recently, let's see, what's the date today? August 5th. So I think it was maybe August 2nd. I wrote a blog about letting go and letting God. And I was sharing in Masterful Living class this week that back in the day, back in the 80s and the 90s, and somebody would say, let go, let God. And I'd think, what are you talking about? What does that even mean? That makes no sense to me. Let go, let God. Okay, I don't know how to pay my rent. God, I'm letting go of it. I'm going to let you pay my rent. That just felt like gobbledygook to me. That felt like insanity. I thought, you're not helping God by walking around saying things like that. Goodness gracious. Oh, I have a cancer diagnosis. Oh, well, I'm just going to let go and let God. And then I don't have a cancer diagnosis anymore. Oh, wait, I still do. What? What do you mean, let go and let God? Nobody was explaining it. People were just saying it. So I've come to realize that what I've been teaching now for a very long time is let go and let God. But it's not exactly how I say it. But I do say, give it to the Holy Spirit for healing. Let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. Surrender any attachment to thinking you have to be the one who's going to figure it out at the level of the personality. Stop doing that. Unless you like being upset and miserable and frightened and worried. Let go, let God. What does it really mean? It means saying, God, I don't know what to do here, but obviously my higher self knows. The Holy Spirit self, which is myself, Spirit knows. So I'm asking for the download. I'm willing to receive the download. I'm accepting the download. I'm putting this on the altar, and I am going to stand back knowing it will be given to me. I don't have to make that happen. It will occur because my mind is the mind of God. I'm one with the infinite. So, of course, you can see in a practice like that, trust is required. Trust, trust, trust. Well, it's time for me to close us out here, and I'm so grateful for our connection. I'm inviting you to check out everything that we're offering at JenniferHadley.com. I write daily inspiration. I record daily prayers. They're all free. You can sign up for them. You can sign up for our events newsletter, and then you'll know what's going on and what's coming up. Also, I invite you to take a look at LivingACourseInMiracles.com, where we have lots of resources, including transcripts for many of these podcast episodes. Lots of free resources there for A Course in Miracles folks. And we have our miracle circles coming up. These are a wonderful opportunity to join with like-minded souls. Of course, it's free. Look under the resources tab at livingacourseinmiracles.com. And I am going to say a prayer here. Oh, we're grateful and we're thankful for the love of God that shines in our heart and in our mind. We're grateful and thankful to trade our perception for an awareness of our true reality. We're grateful and thankful to partner up with that higher Holy Spirit self and to relinquish the blocks to love, to open our heart and mind to what's true and discard what's false. We are grateful. We are thankful to say yes to the love that we are. We let it be, and we share the benefits with everyone. We know it's done, and so it is. Amen, amen, amen. I love you. God bless you. Mwah.